Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and I've got Shannon Gibbs with me. Hey, Shannon.
Hello.
All right, so we just recorded a podcast all about Shannon and her film, My Own. My Own won awards when it did its Los Angeles premiere at Sherman Oaks Film Festival last year, November 2021. Love the film. Shannon is a super talented filmmaker. And we just talked about everything. In fact, we might have set a record. We almost hit 2 hours in that first podcast. But this podcast isn't about that. This is Shannon answering the four questions. and she's not prepared, so give her a little space. But the four questions are favorite films of all time, an underrated film, an overrated film, and a lesser-known film that people should seek out. And I'm also supposed to mention that if you want to watch My Own, go to Amazon Prime Video, look up Discover Indie Film, and when season 6 hits, it's going to be in there. So do
that.
Let's
go. Oh my gosh. I just want to preface this by saying I've been talking to Jeff for 4 hours now, I would say cumulatively.
Yes. Well, fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah, no, but it's been the best.
It's been, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, what a relief.
Yeah,
I know, because we recorded an almost 2 hour podcast and then we stepped into the kitchen for a break in between that one and this one. And then started talking to my partner and you got asked all the same questions.
I'm having the time of my life. You guys are so like instantly vulnerable. And I think I'm that kind of person too. So I think we've just like been vibing.
I agree completely.
Yeah. No, it's been the best.
You're my kind of person because not only are you a talented filmmaker and made a kick-ass movie that was wonderful to have at Sherman Oaks, but then you did stay involved with the filmmakers board and you even showed up and surprised me by showing up on April 20th at THC Cinema, which I don't know if I'll do again, but THC Cinema was a little pet project of mine because...
Yes, otherwise known as 420 Fest. I brought my friend, a filmmaker friend, Lily Kennedy. We had a blast.
How good were those films, by the way?
Oh my gosh, they were so... They were all like good movies to watch while high in different ways. And it was just like chef's kiss.
And I'll stress that, thank you so much. But I'll stress that they are all good movies.
Yeah.
That are good high. But,
yeah.
But actually, there was a couple people came who abstained from weed. Like one, he tried to drink like 2-3 beers, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
But yes, they're all so good. So
yeah, there were some that like really kind of freaked me out too. You put some horror in there and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, which was the horror? There was a horror.
Was it the one with like the mirror? No. Is there one like with
yes,
a lot of
yes, the one
of red
with the mirror.
Light.
The guy looks in the mirror.
Mirrors creep me out so much. That
yes.
was not good for me.
And the effect of someone with a beard looking in the mirror and the beard and the mirror reflection is shaved.
Mm.
Oh, that's creepy. That stuff is creepy.
When you look in the mirror and it's different, it's funny. We were talking about me having this thing about looking in the mirror my whole life with my non-binary identity. And yeah, I think the horror of mirrors really gets to me.
Yeah, well, maybe you should do your own comedy horror someday.
Yeah.
That would be... Because comedy and horror go so together so well. You've got the comedy chops.
Yeah. The they on in the other side of the mirror, we'll workshop it.
Yes. All right, well, do you think you're ready for question number one?
Yes.
All right. Favorite films, and in theory, I normally say limit 3, so you don't feel too much pressure, but if you got to go longer, it's fine.
Okay. Always, hands down, favorite film of all time is Juno. Elliot Page is my favorite actor. I love them. He's the best. And I love the queerness and uniqueness he brings to this role that's all about gender. So how beautiful that in retrospect we know that he was trans. I hope to bring something similar to roles in the future as a non-binary person. I also recently watched Office Space and remembered that Office Space, the dark nihilistic comedy, has a clear place in the top 3 for me. I just think it's hilarious and dark, and I love things that are hilarious and dark. And the scene where they take the printer and in slow motion take bats to it to Damn It Feels Good to Be a Gangster is one of my favorite moments in cinema. And the character of Milton is one of the best characters of all time. And Donnie Darko. I love Donnie Darko, just aesthetically. I think I was like 14 when I discovered it, and I blogged about it, and I was all dark and artsy about my blog about it. But I think it was just the first movie that, rather than like conceptually liking it, I just really vibed with the imagery. Something about the green light and the darkness, and yeah.
And it's such a, well, I love all your picks. And Darko, as long as you, that was the last one, I mean, it's such a unique coming of age film in a way. Like for me, like I think we all love high school films.
Yeah.
And it's, there's, for, I love something that, I don't know, is, I think it's legitimately magical realism.
Yeah.
In that film.
Yeah.
And yet it feels so realistic.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, I love the scenes with his sister.
I think I really like the marriage between realism and surrealism for sure.
Yeah.
I write towards a marriage of realism and surrealism. I write comedies and I write dramas, but they tend to have at least that in common. An Office Space is kind of like that, and the Damn It Feels Good to Be a Gangster, and the kind of the surrealism of waking up one morning and realizing that nothing matters, so you just sleep all day.
That is a magical film, and yeah. I really did want to like jump all over it and like applaud you, because also the question is favorite films, and Office Space, there is no day I've ever had in my life, no matter if I'm in a good or bad mood, whatever, that if that film were on the TV, I wouldn't sit down and enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's perfect. And it's kind of magical realism too. Like, it is so far removed from reality, what's actually going on in there.
Yeah, well, there's a magical moment. He gets hypnotized, and that's when he's able to go over the cliff and just know that nothing matters and stop going to work. And he just inspires everyone around him, because everyone is also that close to going off the cliff. And it's hilarious and relatable. And I recently watched it because I was working 12, 13 hour days on set, at one point 6 days consecutively. And it really hit different.
Yes. Yes. It is so accurate for a workplace comedy.
Yeah. It's so funny. I just really related with, I was working under a few people as a costumer on a TV show. And I really related with this one line, which is that he works under three bosses. And so if he makes a mistake, he doesn't get told he makes a mistake one time. He gets told he makes a mistake by three bosses 10 minutes apart. And I mean, it hit.
That scene where he's in there with the consultants,
yeah,
and his nonchalance wins the day, mm-hmm, is one of the most beautiful scenes ever. That's like the, yeah, most triumphant scene I can ever think of.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. Yeah. And then, you know, Juno doesn't have the surrealism element to it, but it does have the subversion in retrospect of having a trans main character playing a typical womanhood experience. And so I think that that's what I really like about it. And I think I could sense that subversion and contrast.
And it was really attacking taboos,
mm-hmm,
and, you know, challenging subjects that teenagers go through. Another, yeah, obviously a huge coming of age film.
It's such a feminine, tragic story typically, like in our media. And to see it portrayed cavalierly and sort of with a subversively masculine energy was really nice.
It's a special film. Yeah. Special film. I've never seen it was inspired by a Korean movie, Jenny Juno.
Oh, wow. But I didn't know that.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm so ignorant of Korean film. Like when people, mm-hmm, when Korean film fans come in here, I'm like, oh my God, like there's a whole,
yeah,
there's about 40 years of Korean cinema that I'm missing.
Yeah. Aside from the TV show, Hello, My 20s, I don't know anything about Korean.
Did you dodge Squid Game? You avoided it?
Oh, I did. I watched Squid Game too. That was good. Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. There's actually, now the Netflix is bringing in all kinds of Korean stuff because, mm-hmm, America stopped making good stuff anyway.
I do love horror in general. So a close fourth might be Hereditary, because it's such a sort of creepy take on grief. I really like horror movies because you can always, like, you can always write an essay about them. Like, it always is about a cultural fear that we have.
And Hereditary is such high quality horror.
Yeah.
I even lean harder towards Midsommar.
Oh, I love Midsommar too.
I just think that's an art film. I mean, how often does horror rise to the level of like an amazing, I throughout that film, I'm just like, my mind keeps exploding.
The horror of, like, directing wise, it's the horror of staying on someone when they're at their wit's end and when they're screaming bloody murder and never cutting. Like, them starting to scream is only the beginning of the horror. It's like you stay on them and you zoom in and you see the bags under their eyes as they continue to not be able to breathe and cry, and they won't let you out of it. I just think the directing is so good.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Great choices. All right. Your question number two is an underrated film.
All right. So I actually needed to consult my boyfriend on this one because we recently watched a film and we were like, we will die on the hill of this film is not that bad. And we feel that way about the film Showgirls. We feel that there's a lot of merit there, and it's the cinematography is interesting and beautiful. There is some feminism happening in the script. And it's an interesting story. Sure, it's a little like glitzy and sexualized and objectified, but I don't think the movie doesn't know it is that.
It's funny. I have to revisit it because you're the second, maybe even third, but at least the second person to name Showgirls as underrated.
It's having a resurgence.
And I'm a victim of, you know, I was in my 20s when it came out, mm-hmm. and we all knew... what's her name from Saved by the Bell?
Yeah.
Like, so it just felt so cheesy and exploitative at the time it came out.
Yeah. I think at the time it came out, taking on a role like that wasn't seen as kind of radical and cool. It was seen as like, how far has she fallen? But with my 2022 eyes, I'm like, she looks hot. Her acting's great. I don't see the problem. There's a lot of camp in that movie too.
Yeah, and I believe it's like a super solid screenwriter. I think it's the same screenwriter as Jacob's Ladder. Was that Joe Esterhaz, I think?
But, I can neither confirm nor deny.
Yeah, solid filmmaker. So
I love that I'm not the only person who said that, though. I feel not alone.
You're not. So yeah, you know, it's a cult favorite, I think.
Yeah.
But you're not saying it's good bad. You're saying it's good good. It's not like so bad it's good. Like, it's not so cheesy.
No, it's not bad it's good. I'm not sure. I think it's like good great, but it's good good. And I don't think it should have been the end of that girl's career.
Yeah.
That feels not fair.
Yeah. Not fair.
I think she did a good job, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm just going to mention, if you want to see her have a small but excellent role in a film after that, there was this amazing film, Roger Dodger, and she was in it, and she's great. So, yeah, I feel bad for her. She got...
Yeah.
And there was probably horrible things after that film came out where every producer in Hollywood figured, okay, bring her to my house. Like, horrible things happened in this town. And she was so sexualized in the film that they probably saw... Anyway.
Yeah, and I think there's a way to be sexualized in a film that's about showgirls that's kind of campy. And that not be a negative thing. I think that she looks hot and that's okay.
Absolutely. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I ever saw the whole thing.
Mm.
Okay, now I'm obligated to watch it.
Yeah.
Should I watch it with a 14-year-old?
Probably not.
Yeah, you're good advice. Very good advice.
Honestly, for the 14-year-old's sake, you'll probably be fine. That's how to traumatize a child.
She still covers her eyes when people kiss. Only if we're in the room. Like,
yeah.
Because she's like, it's disgusting to watch that around you.
I was once watching like a raunchy sex scene and my dad was in the room and I like sent a text to my friend saying like, oh God, kill me if the sex scene won't end soon because I'm in the room with my dad. And then I sent it to my dad. And I remember it in the middle of the night sometimes.
That's a great moment, though.
He just laughed. He thought it was so funny, yeah.
That is great. All right, well, I think you have a good one for question number three, which is an overrated film.
Right, yes. Okay, here it comes. The Godfather, and I know, like, not TV shows, but The Sopranos. Here's my take. I think if we did one film or two films or three films about anti-hero, gangster white guys, I might have capacity for it. I'm out of capacity. I've seen too many of these films. They're so long, and I hate them.
Valid. Sometimes people pose these questions back to me, and I'll just share that I often say Godfather 2.
Mm.
Depends on my mood.
I obviously haven't gotten there because I don't...
Yeah, but it's so much worse. A lot of people say it's better than the first, and I'm like, it's so much worse. It's just cheesy. But yeah, you're right. Oh, wow. A lot of people are going to lose respect for me if I share this. But I've never made it through Sopranos. I've watched the pilot.
That's okay.
I've watched the pilot so many times, and I'm like, I'm just not interested in gangsters.
I think it's okay not to like gangsters that much. Like, I don't understand why we live in a culture where, like, if you don't like all the gangster movies, you don't like American cinema. Like, I'm so sick of anti-hero white dudes, and, like, so many of them, too. There's like always like an ensemble cast of like seven anti-hero white dudes with like this weird subtext too of like they're bad people, but also like it's kind of cool. I really just can't get behind it after a certain, like if there was one movie with like that, it might be interesting. I don't understand why it's like the good film genre.
It's very weird. Very weird. You know, maybe, I don't know. I won't virtue signal and bring up toxic masculinity, but I think it's all about that, right?
Yeah, I think it's somewhere in that sauce for sure. I will say I do for some reason like Scarface.
Scarface is fun. I think of all the films, maybe I can't name the best one, but the Scorsese one that...
I could go on.
I should delete this. That's so embarrassing. I can't name it, but it's the one that
Let's workshop this.
Oh my God. I can name all the actors. I can name everything. I should fucking delete that. Okay. So anyway, it's not about my opinions anyway. Right, your last one, and this one might be tricky. I apologize, but it's a lesser known film that people should seek out. So like a hidden gem that I should make a point of trying to watch. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I recently watched on a plane, and my family and I, we always joke about movies are always better on a plane. So that, honestly, it's kind of a disclaimer because you're literally a captive audience on a plane. And for some reason, we seem to be more emotional on planes. I don't know. But I watched the film with James McAvoy and that lady from that show called Together. It's like a COVID era drama with this device of speaking directly to camera. As if maybe they're talking to a documentarian in an interview style about their relationship and how it's progressing through COVID. And basically having like these little snapshot interviews through their lives, like maybe every 2 months through the whole pandemic. And I put it on thinking, oh, this is going to be cheesy. This is going to be COVID content. We're so sick of COVID content. And I found it very touching, very well written, and refreshingly theatrical for a film, in that like there were long one-ers where you really got to see them act and like explore a monologue.
Yeah, so it felt like a play at times.
Yeah, it was in the device of talking right to camera. Also feels very play-like. Kind of felt like a one-man show if it was two people.
And I'll just admit, I mean, I have a lot of loved ones, but if you told me I had to lock myself in a room with someone for 10 years, and if James McAvoy was on the list, I might pick him. Because
yeah.
I just find him...
Yeah, same.
He's just perfect, and like as a performer and yeah. a person. He just, you know, I've loved him from the... I think the first thing I saw was Last King of Scotland, and everything I've seen in... Whether it's good or bad, I think he's remarkable.
I used to, when I blogged about Donnie Darko, I would also blog about James McAvoy.
Yeah, he's the bomb diggity.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right, fun list. And you want to mention social media and stuff before we run, if people want to follow you and see the cool stuff? And you can even mention the comedy sketches on YouTube that came up in the last podcast.
Yeah, in the last podcast, I mentioned the Real Adult Human sketches on YouTube, Let's Make Porn, and If Childbirth Were Running a Marathon. But I talk constantly about my life, like embarrassingly, a lot on my Instagram. So you can just follow me at Shannon Gibbsy, SHANNON GIBBSY, and you'll know everything that I'm doing.
And you will be entertained.
Okay. Yeah, sure. We'll go with that.
It's my opinion. All right. I will do the quick wrap up then. Shannon's film, My Own, a wonderful film about a non-binary ballerina, is going to be in the Discovery Indie Film TV series. So get into the series. Watch the first 5 seasons and then get ready for season 6 that's going to have My Own in it. Just go to Prime Video, search for Discover Indie Film, and start enjoying the best stuff from the festival circuit. And if you want to learn more about it, you can go to, on social media, it's at DIFWINS, and the website is discoverindiefilm.com. And there's actually some movie reviews on there now, too. I like got cornered into, like, people have been telling me to add reviews all along. Someone showed me how to like do reviews on the website and then link them to IMDb for people. So
nice.
All the great stuff, you know.
Oh, that's nice.
Eventually there'll be one for My Own if someone invents a pill that gives me 48 hours a day.
Okay. I'll count on that.
Yes. All right. And then the last two things I'm supposed to mention are the film festivals that feed into Discover Indie Film. That's the Sherman Oaks Film Festival, where Shannon won the Programmer's Prize for her film My Own. Last year in November, Sherman Oaks Film Festival, every November. You can learn about it at ShermanOaksFF.com, and it's at ShermanOaksFF on social media. And it's sister festival that Shannon was on the filmmakers board choosing some award winners in the shorts category. That's every June, and you can learn about it at FilmInvasionLA.com, and it's at FilmInvasionLA on social media. And we have now completed a good 5 hours of talking.
Yeah, I think we got most of it in, but I feel like I got 5 more in me, honestly.
Yeah, well, yeah. What's on your mind? I mean, there can always be a secret gem after the spiel of websites and ads.
I think we need to cut this off, Jeff.
Okay, it's a healthy instinct. All right, we could have cut it off then, but thank you, Shannon, for showing up. And thank you, everyone, for listening.
Amazing.